Erev Tov, Rabotai. Okay, so to kick off the Zman, I like to occasionally do these because, you know, just to spice it up a little bit before we start a series tomorrow. I want to share with you an interesting Choshen Mishpat case that was posed to the Bedin, and it was a case that happened in New York, so I just want to discuss it a little bit now. Uh-huh. It was actually a very, you know, a lot of cases that come to Bedin, they're like, whatever, not so interesting. But this one was like, this was fire. So everybody likes a good Choshen Mishpat case. So let's do that. So as follows, the case was that like this. There was a yeshiva in Israel that was in a very, very tough financial spot. And they sent their Menahel, director, fundraiser situation to America to raise money. He's been here before. I think he was American himself. And he came. There was, I don't want to say where exactly, but he came to a very wealthy individual in a, not far from here. And this guy was super, super wealthy. Mamash, multimillionaire. Soon you'll see why that's relevant. But what happened was, he went to the guy's house, he invited him in, took him to his office, and he says, I want you to know the situation is in the yeshiva is terrible, we're drowning in debt since COVID, balagan, whatever. He's like, I need you to come through in a big way. I need you to make a big donation. He's like, okay, how much are you thinking? He's like, I need you to donate $100,000. Oh yeah, just $100,000. Anyway, because so the Gvir looks at him and he says, "I don't. I'm a little tied up right now. I can't really afford that right now. I can offer you $1,000. I'm like a multimillionaire." So the fundraiser got all insulted. He says, "What do you mean? I came here for $1,000. What are you talking about?" And he started mamash making the guy crazy. Tochenlo. He's sitting there, mama. You know the yeshiva you've given to us before. Don't let us down. What? Mamash, like, got into his kishkes. And the Gvir does not get rid of the guy. The guy parks himself on the couch. He says, I'm not leaving this house without a $100,000 check. You remember Occupy Wall Street? Like, occupied the guy's house. I'm not leaving. So the Gvir was getting fed up, and he didn't want to get physical. I mean, so watch what he did. He reaches for a checkbook. And he writes out a check, and he gives it to the guy. He says, okay, you should be good now. What? He writes $50,000. He gave him a $50,000 check. The Menahem makes a quick cashbon. He says, you know, I wanted $100,000. I asked for $100,000. He offered me $1,000. I got $50,000. He says, I have to know when to cut my losses, right? You know, got to pick your battles. So it's Tzikun Mitzvot, Toda Rabah, Vezeh. Kissed his hand. Yeah. And he told him, Chaim Tum Shalom, and he left. He was very happy. And when he gets back to Israel, first stop, he runs right off the plane, he runs to the bank to deposit the check into the yeshiva's account. 2 days later, the bank, the Israeli bank, called up this guy, and he says, in Israel, they give you the courtesy. They call you, he says, by the way, there's not enough coverage for the check. This check is about to bounce. He chapped that the Gvir, the rich guy, bounced a check on him just to get him out of the house. Interesting thing. Story's not over. So what does he do? He looks at the bank on the check. I don't know if Bank of America, I don't know what it was. He calls the American bank. He asks to speak to the branch manager. So he calls him up. He says, listen, I'm in a predicament. I'm in a pickle. A guy gave me a $50,000 check, and it's about to bounce and whatever. My institution's about to fall apart. Can you help me? He says, what do you want me to do? He says, can you tell me how much money is in the account? How much is it about to bounce because of? He's like, that's confidential. That I can't give you that information. So he made him crazy too. Pushed him. Finally, the branch manager says, there's $42,000 in the account. Meaning, it's missing coverage of $8,000. What did he do? He runs quickly. He wires $8,000 of his own money into this person's account. When it went in, now there's 50. As soon as the money went in, he deposited the check again, and it goes through. And he collected all $50,000. Yeah, definitely a class A jerk, but whatever, he did it. A day later, he gets an angry phone call from the gvir, and he's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "You're a gazlan. Your yeshiva's a gazlan. What do you? You don't chap that you were making me crazy and I bounced the check on you on purpose just to get you out of my house?" He's like, "I don't care. You gave me a $50,000 check. I did what I needed to do to collect it. That's it." And the case came to Bedin. Is the yeshiva gazlan? That, my friends, is a geshmak kez. Yeah? Definitely asur to do what the fundraiser did. No question. That's not the question. Question is, now that the yeshiva has the money, can the gvir collect it back? On the one hand, he says, "I never really meant to give you the check. You were just, you know, in Hebrew, what a kartzia is, like a leech, like you wouldn't leave me alone, so that was the only way I could get rid of you." But on the other hand, the yeshiva, the minahin, the fundraiser says, "I don't care, you gave me a check. You know, if you take a $50,000 check to court, you collect it." So he says, "I just had to do, I did whatever I needed to do in order to collect the check." So who's right? And most importantly, in Choshen Mishpat, it's not just what you feel, your gut instinct. You have to have Mekorot and Shas and Poskim. Why? Yeah, go ahead, Malo, what's the matter?
Easy to say that the field did not intend for there, like, you know, for his privacy to not be broken. He knew that you would get into such a high number that would be so unrealistic that you could
do it
any second.
Multi-million dollar Gvir. He's a multi-million dollar philanthropist.
He
picked that account because that account wasn't active. Davka, he knew there wasn't enough coverage, and he specifically decided to bounce a check on the guy because he wanted it to bounce.
Exactly the point.
Yeah, good. What's your name? Yonatan what? Okay, good. You just gave him a check. I didn't lose. He didn't lose. No. The other guy, the fundraiser, in order to put coverage into the account, he donated $8,000, meaning he put $8,000 of the yeshiva's money into the account so he could collect the other 42. He did it. No, but he did it. But no, but he did. He had a check in his hand. A check is a shtar chov. It's a promissory note. You bounced the check on me, which is also, again, technically, the gvir could have picked him up and thrown him out of the house. The gvir's way of picking him up and throwing him out of the house is to give him a bouncing 50K check. That's what he did. The guy's thinking to himself, "Well, I'm going to strike back. You gave me a 50K check. I'm going to do everything humanly possible, as legal or as illegal as it is, to get that money for the yeshiva." That was the shaila. And now the yeshiva has the money. He did it. What he did was illegal. Whatever. Fine. So what are you going to do? You're going to sue Chase or Bank of America for devil? Yeah, take Chase to Bedin. You know what I'm saying? It's not happening. His case is against this guy. Yeah. No, it's a regular shtar chov. He signed the shtar chov. It's a promissory note that I owe you the money. But his claim is, you and me both know that I didn't mean to give you this. Now, there's something over here called an umdana, which is I don't know if we're going to finish the whole shaila. It's a big case, but there's something in halakha called an umdana. Umdana is it's an assumption of why I would do something. You remember I told you he was a very chashuv multimillionaire guy? Multimillionaires don't bounce checks. You know that? if you're anything, if you're anybody, you know, who's anybody in business, you don't bounce a check. When you bounce a check, your credit rating goes down, your ne'emanut goes down. If he's giving it to him from an... Now, also, by the way, in general, multimillionaires keep more than $42,000 in their accounts. Yeah? Apparently, what kind of account was this? Like my macharonim account, whatever. And he bedavka wrote him a check from my macharonim account, and he bounced the check on him from that account. Which means that all indications here are pointing to the fact that what? This was premeditated, and he just meant to get him out of his fault. The question is, are you able to be multi mamon? Are you able to extract money from somebody else using an umdina, using such an assumption, or we'll call it in law, in American law, it's called circumstantial evidence. The circumstantial evidence here is that he had no meaning whatsoever to give him that donation. So are you able to be motzi mamon just by circumstantial evidence? You ready? That's a nice concept, but talk to me. Give me cases and shots. Ready? Buckle up. There's a gemara, huh? What? No. Not fighting in it. Well, he has an umdina, but that's not really a proof. Fighting it out is called shudad dayane, or called danim gava. That's different. What are you saying? In general, but that's when he meant to give it. He says, I never meant to give this. Well, usually when I give a check. Yeah, but over here he's saying, you pressured... I didn't want to give this. You weren't leaving my house. The guy was acting like a behemoth, and this was my only way to get you out. So that's what I did. Yeah. So that's what the yeshiva is saying. And the gvir is saying, not if I can explain why I did it. They didn't want to do this. If somebody puts a gun to your head and says, write me a $1 million check to my yeshiva, and you do it, and you give it to the yeshiva, are you chayav? Why? But you gave a check. What's the answer? What's the guy saying over here? Why? Well, don't forget, this check shouldn't have been collectible. This check, if the guy wouldn't have pulled off the shtick, the check should have bounced. Right? Okay. So that's exactly the shaila. The gvir is saying, my umdina is powerful enough to show that I never really meant for that donation to go through to begin with. Yeah, Yuval, not only. That's by edut. You said that by edut. Well, look, I gave you a check from an inactive account, and if you wouldn't have pulled that thing off, it would have bounced. And I'm a big veer. I don't do things like that. Apparently, put all the pieces together, it's only because... It's only my way of getting rid of you. There's $42,000 in the account. So, and he only knew that because the branch manager illegally divulged. Yeah, you can't tell other people how much money is in your account. Yeah. Yeah.
In theory, should work. I don't know, forget the money in the account, forget the attention. The fact that I hand over a check, which is the regular way of paying for the donation and signing up for the stuff. If you say that's the way that you're obliged it, then in this case, the guy's right.
But you're ignoring the circumstances. Circumstances matter.
Okay,
Okay, so then the other thing is at the moment where the money is deposited in the account, that's where you're fucking.
Forget about that. Circumstances. Remember the gun? Circumstances matter. Circumstances matter. So let's start. Ready? How powerful is umdina? When you have such an assumption, the Gemara Masechet Bava Batra Dav Tzadigim Al brings down a machloket. A few cases, I'll give you one. If you find two oxen, one is alive and one is dead. The live one is walking around next to the dead one. The live one is a shura mu'ad. It's already been found to be mu'ad. It's gored many times before. The dead one has been gored to death. We have no idea what happened. We just pulled up. But we see that this is... Here's the scene. What's the halakha? Does the owner of the live ox have to pay the dead one or not? Okay? Machloket in the Gemara Batra Dav Tzadigim Al. Rabbi Acha says, yes. The Rabbanan say no. What's the Svarat HaMachloket? The Rashbam on the Gemara says, Rabbi Acha, is there an umdina here? What? Well, the dead one was gored, and the live one is a shura mu'ad, so you put two and two together, the assumption is that he killed him, right? Rabbi Acha says, umdina can yes be motzi mamun. The Rabbanan disagree. They say umdina is not strong enough to be motzi mamun. You didn't see that happen? You can't assume. It's not strong enough. Now, what's the halakha in this case? Well, hold on, hold on. What's the halakha in this case? Rif, Rosh, Rambam, Tur, Maran HaShulchan Aruch, Choshen Mishpat, Siman Tafchet, they all hold like the Rabbanan, Patur. You can't be Motzi Mamon based on Umdina. Time out, the Bach on the spot, Arav Bayit Chadash and Siman Tafchet, says the Tur contradicts himself. How's that? The Tur says, over here, he paskins by the case of the ox, Patur, which means in terms of Umdina, can't be Motzi Mamon. In Siman Samache, anybody learn Baba Metzia here? There's a Mishnah in Baba Metzia, Adaf Yudbet Amud Bet. Aleph, sorry, in the bottom. The Mishnah says that if you find the Shtar Chov on the ground, yeah, are you allowed to return it to the lender or the borrower? The Mishnah says, don't give it back to either. Why can't I give it back to the lender? It says, Reuven O Shimon Mani. Why should I give it back to him? Oh, so the Mishnah says that since it's on the floor, when you find the shtar on the floor, what happens to it? Itra. Something's wrong. When you have a shtar, people usually keep in their pocket. You watch it. If it's on the floor, that means there's something wrong. Maybe it was already paid back and the loveh dropped it. Maybe they wrote up the shtar, but the halva'ah actually never happened. There's many things that could be. And therefore, the Mishnah says what? Don't give it back to the malveh. The Rosh says in Tshuvat HaRosh on this Mishnah, that's only when there's no umdina. But if there's an umdina, if there's some sort of assumption that it belongs to the malveh, give it back. Whatever. User imagine it. Huh? Next, maybe next to his house. You know, you find it with his stuff. If there's an assumption that the way you find it, that it belongs, or if it's on his station, something, some sort of assumption that belongs to the malveh, give it back. Says the Bach, whoa. And the Tur, in Siman Samachin Chosh and Mishpat, paskins like the Rosh. Contradiction. With regards to the Shona Muad, the Tur paskind, not to be Motzi Mamon based on Umdina. With regard, now, let me ask you a question. When I give back a Shtar Chov to the Malveh, what's that? Is that Otzat Mamon? Absolutely. If I give him back a promissory note, what's he going to do with it now? He's going to cash it. Yeah. If that's the case, you're being Motzi Mamon based on umdina, stira. Bach asked the question. Answer, interesting answer. He says there's two kinds of umdinot. There's regular grade and super. He says, the case of the shor. Shor Muad is alive walking around next to a gored ox. What kind of umdina is that? What kind of assumption is it that the shor Muad did it? Is it regular or super? It's regular. It's an assumption, but it's not super. Huh? Not very. He could have been just walking around. Could have happened from anywhere else. It's a regular kind of umdina. Good? Yeah? So that, again, the Gemara in Baba Metziah speaks about simanim on the shtar chov that you would give back. Over here, we're talking an umdina that some sort of other circumstantial whatever that tells me that it belongs to the malveh. Says the Bach, when the tour says that you give back the shtar chov based on an umdina to the malveh, you know what kind of umdina he's talking about? Super. Only a super one. The Avnei Nezer, in Shelot Tshuvot Avnei Nezer, Chelek Aleph, Ibn Ezer, Siman Kuf Yutet. He actually brings down the same stira in the Rambam. Not on the tour, but on the Rambam. Ready? Watch. He says, wow, time flies. Time flies when you're having fun. And learning. Learning is fun. It's a big shas out there. Big poskim. Yeah? Look at that. Anyway, the Rambam, with regards to Shulam Wad, in Perek Chet, Milchot Nizkei Mamon, who does he paskin? Like what I tell you, what the Rambam paskins like Bashor, like the Chachamim, Patur. Time out. There's a Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, Named Zayin Amud Bet. The Gemara brings down a story about Shimon ben Shatach. Yeah? Who's Rosh Sanhedrin. The Gemara says that in his times, they saw a person holding a sword and entering a cave. The sword was clean when he entered. He exited the cave, still holding the sword, now dripping blood. They entered the cave after him, and they saw that there was only one person there, stabbed to death in a pool of blood. Is the guy holding the sword Chayav Mitah or not?
No.
There's no other possibility. Absolutely. Says she, huh? There's no sword in there.
No, he stabbed himself now.
And he took it back.
The Gemara Shimon ben Shatach said, "Patur mimita." He cursed the guy. He says, "I can't kill you in Beddin because in order to kill in Beddin, you need Adim ve'atra'ah." Even though there's no, hold on. He cursed the guy, and the guy ended up dying anyway. But he couldn't kill him in Bidin. Now, well, that's machloket between the Chachamim said kederach nafim. That's something else. The Rambam in Perikaf Minchot Sanhedrin, the Rambam brings down this law and he says that's the halacha with regards to chiyuv mita, you can't kill. But if you had a similar case like this, not by nefashot, not by a death sentence case, but by mamonot, what would be the halacha by mamonot case? The Rambam says you'd be chayav the mamon. Hey, wait, whoa. You didn't see it. That's an umdina. Wait a second. The Rambam in Perek Chet Milchot Nizkei Mamon says you're not motzi mamon based on umdina. The Rambam in Perek Kaf Milchot Sanhedrin says you are motzi mamon based on umdina. What do you do? Stira. Says the Avnei Nezer exactly like the Bach. That there's two kinds of umdinas. Regular and super. The case of the Shura Muad, regular. The case of the sword dripping blood, if you would copy and paste that into Mamon, is that regular or super? What? But you didn't see it. You didn't see it. At the end of the day, you didn't see it. Hold on. Time out. Therefore, using this logic, Rabotai, in our case, using the logic of the Bach and Avnei Nezer, our case, super multi-million dollar gvir, giving a check from a Maim Acharonim account, bouncing the check, which is something that businessmen don't do. What kind of umdana is that? Regular or super? That's a super umdana. Now, based on this Bach and Avnei Nezer in the Rambam, you'd be able to be motzi mamon. Not everybody holds like that, though. Stay tuned. I have a chabura on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. before Mincha. We'll continue Be'ezat Hashem tomorrow. The case ain't, it ain't over until it's over. But right now, you're starting to get a kibun, yeah.
Is there
a yeah, of course there is, but you want me to give you kol ha-Torah kula regel achat? In half an hour, you want me to give you everything? Yeah. Yeah. Why?
When you went to go check the, when you went to go check out, and it bounced back.
That's exactly the point. The Gvir said.
At that moment, you should have given up.
No, no, no. But the Gvir says, "You see, I bounced the check on you. That means I didn't want to give you the money."
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. At the moment where you went to go check out the check.
Oh, but the guy says, "I don't care. I found a creative way to get the money anyway." That's the shame.
Kitchen, I was going above and beyond.
He's trying to do what he can't. So the question, and he did it. The question is whether or not he can take the money back.